I love the old word solace, don't you? It just speaks of some that deep, deep comfort and peace embraced in the arms of our Lord God. What trials and tribulations, often joys we forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Today, the passage, it really is about persistence in prayer and keeping on praying. But if it's a subject very close to my heart and to many of you, I'm sure, it's not always the easiest thing to do, is it? I love the innocence of children, and I brought a little wee booklet of mine. It's about children's letters to God, and it speaks of that wonderful innocence and freedom and natural praying that children can often do. Here's a wee prayer. It says, "Dear God, in Sunday school, they told us what you do. Who does that when you're on holiday?" You know, so just so innocent and so beautiful. "Dear God, did you mean for a giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident?" You can say that about many animals, I'm sure, Norma. And here's another one. "Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes." A simple, innocent, from the heart prayer of a child. Where does that simplicity and innocence go? As we grow up, we get a bit careworn, don't we? We get a bit worldly wise, and that natural spontaneity that God wants us to have as His children sort of dissipates a good bit. We get disappointed, don't we, when God seems to be silent. Why is God not doing something about this or about that? Why did God do this? And it's a silence. It doesn't grant our requests as we expect Him to do so. Prayer becomes lethargic and burdensome, and we're busy, 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 and we can find it difficult to pray. Yes, there are seasons for ministers when it's difficult to pray because you're burdened with so many things and you haven't got time, and you don't make time to pray, and you'll miss out on that solace, that peace, that coming into God's presence, which He wants us to do. If we can solve a problem by ourselves, we don't want to bother God. We probably won't get an answer anyway, so we don't bother. At best, though, and it's great, that every Sunday, you notice, in our church, we have the Lord's Prayer. And I always made it a real priority because for our children, before we go out, always have the Lord's Prayer so it's ingrained in our minds. Because when the chips are down, it's things like the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, or things that really speak to our hearts. And so we keep the Lord's Prayer and other things really to the fore for our children, for ourselves, because we so can easily lose track. But the good news is that Jesus knew exactly how frail we are and how difficult it is to keep going with all the trials and tribulations of life. And so He told this parable. And it's in the context of the second coming, this long-awaited coming for Jesus. Remember, "How long, O Lord? Why don't you do something?" It was the ancient prayer of the psalmist. What are you doing? Why don't you act now? And this prolonged waiting for God to really come and bring revival in the church or whatever it may be. That's the context of this. He's been talking about the second coming, and no one knows the day or the hour, but it will come. And so he brings us into this parable to pray. Jesus, of course, as often in Scripture, He never grew tired of inviting us, prompting us, encouraging us, exhorting us, even commanding us to pray. When you pray, expecting us to pray, pray like this: "Our Father, which is in heaven." So Jesus wants us to pray. He often took Himself off into the quiet mountains to pray. It was so important for Him, and He knows it's important for us. And of course, that classic of all prayers in Gethsemane. And He turns and pierces the conscience of the disciples. Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? We find it hard to sustain in prayer, don't we? If you're honest, certainly if this is not for you, then you're happily have a wee snooze. But I think everybody struggles with prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit because we don't carry everything to God in prayer we've just sung. And yet prayer, the commentators and those who have studied prayer, they know. Great writers, Spurgeon, O'Hallisby, lots of people have written about prayer because prayer is described as the Christian's heartbeat. It keeps us going. Or the oxygen, the air that we breathe. It should be as natural, but it's also as vital for us as that. Physically, these are important things. And so prayer is the Christian's vital breath, says one great worthy. It sustains us. It helps us from becoming lifeless, and we're powerless without prayer, aren't we? So Jesus tells us this parable. And you notice what he says in verse 1? Pray and not give up. He said, I'm telling you this so that you might be able to pray and not give up, because we're in danger of giving up in prayer when we have to wait too long, we don't see the answers, we don't see God in action. And the judge is described as ruthless, as we know, totally lacking in fear or respect for God, and unconcerned about the needs of others or their opinion of him. So Jesus is showing the extreme, this disinterested, self-interested, you see, person. A bit of a maverick, a law unto himself, and officialdom dominated his life and his view of life, totally lacking in compassion. And he paints that picture. And here comes this widow, looking for justice, looking for him to do something for her. And we know, don't we, that widows and orphans were to be looked after in Scripture, in Old Testament times and modern New Testament times too, that widows and orphans were to be especially cared for with compassion and kindness and given place and security. So here was a priority, really, in God's heart. But she comes up to this judge, and she's given the cold shoulder. She kept persisting, of course, and pleading for help in verse 3. All she had in her favor was justice and her own persistence. I should also say, of course, her identity, because God has compassion on the widows and orphans. But her persistence eventually wore the judge down. In the end, he did as she asked, for with no higher motive than to get rid of her. Don't bother me. Okay, I'll give you what you want. He didn't want her to wear him out. And the verb that's actually used in the Greek is he didn't want a black eye. It was obviously very physical. She really was pushing very hard to get this. And he said, okay, right, okay, I'll give in. He didn't want her to wear her out. Quite picturesque meaning, I should say. But Jesus' point is that even if the unjust judge responds to the constant pressure, how much more will a great and loving God respond to us? If this is what an unjust and mixed up and basic human being will do with all his authority, by contrast, what will God do with all the resources and all the compassion and all the grace and all the love of this world? And so Jesus is showing us that compassion. He often does that in his parables, doesn't he? So he wants us to think, well, if this is what an uncaring person does, well, what will God do? If we know he loves us, that he gave his life for us, and he calls us his children, surely then we can believe he will hear our cries for help. If we know that he loves us. In other words, if we know God, if we know the character of God, we know who we're praying to, then we can rest in the knowledge that he will answer. Now, that's the challenge, I believe, my dear friends, for me, for us all. When the chips are down and we're really struggling, then it's to remember God is in control, not us. God is not it's a Father Christmas, we often hear that, to give us good gifts and to respond to what we want here and now. God is the eternal, ultimate plan for our lives. And we may be going through sticky patches, we may be going through difficult areas, and God doesn't seem to be anywhere around. But it's important that we keep our focus upon God, Because it's as we bring ourselves into the presence of God, coming here in a church is such a vital thing, isn't it? Wherever you are, the fellowship of one another encourages us to look beyond ourselves and to lift up. The approach to prayer often lifts us up into God's presence. The meditation, the Word of God, it's all in the prayer. It's all about getting into God's presence, isn't it? An encounter with God to lift us up out of the frailty of our human existence into that beautiful presence. And the place where that takes place, the beautiful word, the sanctuary. A sanctuary. This is a sanctuary of God's presence with you folks this morning. When we can concentrate, if we can allow ourselves to bask in the glory and be lifted up into God's presence, everything else becomes into perspective. And that's another wee sermon I remember I had recently about as we come into God's presence, gets our lives sorted out in the proper perspective, we see things as they are, because it's so easy to make mountains out of molehills. But in God's presence, He puts us in the right place. But that needs persistence. We've got to keep pleading. And Jesus makes no, doesn't make short work of that. He says, this is what you need to do. Keep pleading and keep praying to God, because He is answering and He will answer, but you will find comfort and solace in His presence. Remember He said, He encouraged us, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The key of prayer again, isn't it? Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts? Good gifts to those who ask him. Or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. How much more? We wouldn't dream of giving our children poison or wrong things. We want to give them good diet. 5 a day is what they say. And boy, if you don't eat your vegetables, you don't get your pudding and all that sort of thing. We're so anxious to have our children good diet. We wouldn't dream of giving them anything poor. God wouldn't dream of giving something to harm us unnecessarily. That's the contrast again. How much more does God love us? How much more will God listen to you? Like the unfaithful judge, he is much more faithful. So the real problem then is not with God's unwillingness to answer, but perhaps in our perception of God, our faithless, at times, our lethargic refusal to ask, perhaps. Believing people, unbelieving people, people who don't understand why we pray. What a daft thing to do. Because they don't know God, isn't that right? If you know God, you'll want to pray to God. And the world who turns its back on God won't pray because they're all about themselves. But we know there is a God who cares for us and loves for us. And loves us, I should say. And so prayer should be natural, like the child's prayer. If you don't know the character of God, then why should you pray? You don't understand it. It seems folly. But the child, the most natural thing for a child is to speak to their mum or their dad until they're teenagers. They'll speak to their mum and their dad about how they're feeling, about how they're sad. And that conversation is as natural with the child and his parents or her parents as it should be with us, the children of God. So my dear friends, can I encourage you as I encourage my own heart? The most important thing to do is to ensure, yes, that we persist in prayer. And the most important way of doing that is to keep our focus on God. Keep our focus on God in the midst of the mess of Brexit, is that word again, and all that's going on in this world, in Europe and beyond, and the fighting that's always been and always will be, it seems. Keep our focus upon what God gives us, the good news of Jesus Christ, a message to share, a church with a power to love and compassion in God's name in the midst of all. Learning, growing, understanding what God is like through worship, through His Word, and through our experience of life. So then, rather than these things driving us away from God, we are instructed by Jesus to keep persisting in prayer, not for the answer that we want for ourselves, but simply to bring a request to him and to leave them there. Wait for an answer, whatever that may be. "Not my will," said Jesus, of course, in Gethsemane again. "Not my will, but thine be done." It's not a cop-out for us. He wants us to keep persisting in prayer. And at the very end of the day, if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean on our own understanding, it says in Proverbs, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." We sang with the children about following him. It's about listening to him and getting into that habit of looking to him. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, Jesus will say, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" It's a wee sting in the tail, I suppose, a challenge to us. Keep praying. Keep going on. Keep going on. Because at the end of the day, Jesus will be looking for people of prayer. Not great success, great preachers, not great people here, there, and everywhere, but people of faith, people of prayer. And then one day, my friends, we will get the answers. It's promised to us. And then, boy, how great that will be. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your parables that speak to our hearts and cut through so much different opinions of this world to remind us of your greatness, your goodness, and of our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, as you prayed faithfully in the mountain place, in the garden, and amongst us as human beings. Lord, help us to get that habitual habit of prayer. Help us never to lose sight of your glory. And for that long burden and aching of our heart, it never seems to be answered. We look to you that one day, in your perfect timing, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that you're the King of glory. And you will wipe away every tear from the eye. You will wipe that yourself. With tenderness and love, we trust ourselves to you. And again, please, Father, help us to be faithful in all the busyness, all the distractions, all the discouragements. Help us to be faithful. For we ask it to be loyal to the Lord Jesus, to be your church, faithful and true. For again, it's in his name we pray. Amen.